Welcome to Amber Energy, the podcast. Each episode, we talk about what it takes to be the best entrepreneur you can be and how to take your business or your client's business to the next level when it comes to graphic design, branding, and so much more. Let's get started. Hello, welcome. It is a new episode of Amber Energy. I am one of your hosts, Rachel Sedwick, joined by the amazing Amber. How are you doing, Amber?
Oh, just peaches and cream.
Well, so usually we start out our podcasts with some hello, like highlights from the week. So why don't you start? What's been a highlight of your week this week so far? It's Thursday that we're recording this. So
yeah, so this week, I got to present a round one of sketches and research and inspiration to a client. That was a pretty positive meeting. And so I'm stoked to kind of get their feedback and direction on which sketches they'd like to see digitalized. So that's kind of a big highlight. And then a second highlight is that I got another prospect, kind of like a potential client, kind of doing a tryout right now on like a logo rebuild. And it could possibly, if we like the partnership, could lead to me helping out with updating a bunch of different labels and a website and social and some other stuff.
Very cool. That's some good work to be working on this week. For me, let's see, highlights, just really getting back in the routine after a long weekend and kind of being lazy throughout Thanksgiving weekend, honestly. Getting back into the swing of things. I also made some Texas chili because now that I'm in Texas, I wanted to make some Texas chili, but I've been on a pretty strict diet for a while. So now that I'm off the diet, I made some chili and it was really good.
So, send me the recipe.
Yeah, I will. I will. I have been told that
I made my version, which you don't like.
So Texas chili, for those of you that don't know, is basically just chili without beans. And that's like the main component of it.
I know Rachel hates beans.
I don't like beans. I really don't.
That's why I'm saying that you don't like my chili because I've got beans.
Exactly. It's nothing against you. I'm sure it's good for those who like beans, but I'm not a bean person. Yeah. So yeah, I made some Texas chili with some like lean stew meat, lean ground beef and all sorts of stuff. It was really good. So we'll be making again. All right. So our topic today, let's get into it. We're going to introduce what we're going to call a series called the Building Your Business series, hashtag Building Your Business. So this series, we'll do a number of podcast episodes with this series, and it's all really targeted towards like the business owner or hopeful business owner, one day business owner. So we can hopefully help you, the business owner, with various parts of starting or building your business. So this episode of Building Your Business is on the perfect logo. I know Amber is really excited about doing this because she is a logo expert extraordinaire, like times 100, because that is like, you do so many different things in your business, but logos are really like what you are so good at. So why don't you kind of start out by telling us textbook definition of a logo and maybe why you like logos so much.
All right. Textbook definitions. I actually looked at like three different dictionaries, even this old one from like 1987.
Oh, wow.
Just for fun. the logo definition that I'm going to go with is also called a logotype, a graphic representation or symbol of a company name, trademark, abbreviation, often uniquely designed and ready for advertising, easily recognizable. So that's kind of like your textbook definition of a logo.
So what is Amber's definition of a logo?
Yeah, so I mean, it's a visual representation of your brand. It's the first impression typically of your brand and what your company says. It's a symbol. You can learn a lot by a logo. It's just that first impression. It says a lot about you at a glance. And so it's that 3 second at a glance, what your logo says about your company. It's a conceptual representation of your brand.
So why do you like working with logos?
I don't know. They're the foundation of a brand. And that's why I like them so much. They can say so much about you without hardly saying anything at all. Right. Like, how does this little button bug, you know, encapsulate sort of the conceptualizes of your brand. It's just a beautiful thing. And it's fun to come up with something unique and say a lot without really saying anything at all. And I don't know, it's just that foundation. And then from there, everything spins off of it. So I like that part. I like coming up with the mark and the colors and the fonts that then play out and flush through to all parts of the business. And so I like starting at the ground up. It's fun. I like it.
I imagine that it's kind of high pressure to feel like, you know, with one little, like the word you used, button bug, technical term.
Yeah.
With one little button bug, how do you encapsulate like a whole company culture and like mission, values, like both the like the nuances of the company, but like the technical side? There's so much. So I'm excited for some of the questions I have for you to dive into all of that. So first one, at what point in a business life cycle does a new business need a logo?
I mean, they probably did it right off the bat. I mean, right there after getting your business license, your EIN numbers, and, you know, all that kind of good stuff, your bookkeeping, finances, you know, you're going to need a logo, because that logo is going to go on. It's, you know, whether it be your sales flyers, whether it be your website, whether it be your label packaging stuff. I mean, you kind of need a place to start, and a logo is a good place to start.
Yeah. And that's like kind of leading into one of the things, like why a strong logo is so important, is because it is used in so many different ways. Right.
Yeah. And there's definitely two ways of thought, right? Like you can definitely like think about it. Like I know clients will do like, you know, hey, I just starting a business. I just need a $2 chuck. I need to see something for now. And I totally understand and honor that with them. And then there's that, no, I'm going to invest in my business. I'm going to do it foundationally. This is the foundation of my business. I'm going to do, you know, kick it off right. And there's no right or wrong way of doing it. Just that typically how that life cycle work is that like one will last longer. And like maybe after 5 years, the, you know, the I'm just getting started person might do a refresh and overhaul to modernize and look more of the part once they kind of get into the business and into the industry.
Yeah. Plus, once they start, like, once they realize that their new business is no longer just like a hobby or something, I feel like that's probably a big thing and why new business owners decide to just do that quick and easy logo. It's like, I don't know if I'm really like ready.
This idea might not, you know, flop in 3 to 5 years. So I'm not ready to like, you know, go all in. So I totally respect that.
Yeah, exactly. And I know you've worked with a lot of clients on that like big girl or big boy logo, like after they've had their chance with maybe their like $5 logo that they got from a website or made themselves on Canva.
Exactly. And then now they're ready to like, no, I want something really custom that really encompasses, you know, what my company is and where it's headed. And then I get a lot of the companies that, you know, I've been around for 40, 50 years and hey, we need to modernize and refresh and, you know, go that route too. And it's okay. Legacy is okay.
Yeah, exactly. So why not run down for me some of the various logo categories that there are, so you can kind of like paint a picture on like, there's so many different logos out there and logo categories. I feel like a lot of people don't even know that some things might be considered a logo. So go over that with me.
Yeah, there's like different logo types. And it's once you kind of point them out, people are like, oh, yeah, you're right. Didn't realize that before. So, for example, there's I kind of categorize them as five. There's five main logo types. There's a word mark, kind of like Disney, Coca-Cola, Google, right? Those are just a word mark. There's not a symbol paired with it. It's just a word mark, whether it be script or whatever. Okay, the next one is a monogram or acronym letter mark type, which is like CNN or NASA, are kind of like some, you know, basic ones there. Another one is emblem, which is like Harley Davidson or Lamborghini, or even Starbucks are like emblem styles.
Where there's and like a symbol that, you know, means that company, right?
It's kind of like a big thing. Like, you think of, you know, Harley Davidson is like this kind of like shield type bit. And Lamborghini is another shield with a bowl and the word encompassing it. So it's like kind of all together, one big emblem. Same thing with Starbucks. Like the original had like Starbucks coffee, you know, like one emblem with the picture. And that's kind of emblem type. And then there's mascot types. So think like KFC or a Michelin Man or Peanuts. What's the guy there? So there's like it's a mascot is another type. And then lastly is the kind that is very common right now. It's called combination mark, which does that symbol picture, pictorial mark, symbol picture with a word mark combination. And those are kind of like the popular thing right now because people want to have that little symbol to put on like their app design or have a favicon in their website and be able to use on clothing or ball caps or whatever of that symbol with the word mark. And so that's kind of the five main types. And example of the combination might be like, I don't know, Adidas or Nike or Airbnb was another big one. Yeah, there's a lot of those. Very common right now.
Yeah, and those are popular too because I think it allows you to use your logo in so many different ways that are still going to be recognizable to the consumer.
I'm kind of calling that term responsive logo types. That's kind of like the term that I'm using because like no matter the space type, so you got that combination can be a stacked version, a vertical version, or you can take the symbol and pull it to the side and now it's a horizontal version of the logo, or you can use the symbol by itself, or you can use the word mark by itself. So I'm kind of coining the term of like a responsive logo.
Okay, got it. Yeah, and I feel like a lot of your recent logo projects you've been doing are like that. You know, you have a really cool symbol that's like abstract maybe, or like, you know, means certain things that the client likes, and then you have their word mark that looks really nice with that symbol, or you know, you can have each part on its own too.
Because the word mark is kind of like takes hints and pieces of the symbol, and it kind of customize the fonts so that way they look like a nice pairing.
Yeah. All right. So when let's go into like the logo process. So when a new startup or like brand new business comes to you and they want a logo, what is the very first step? So go over like the logo process in general. I know it's quite the process for you as a designer and team.
Yeah, first thing I do is I send over a logo questionnaire and a logo activity, or actually a discovery questionnaire and a logo activity. And I want to learn about the business. I want to learn about their goals. I want to learn about their mission, their values, their vision for the company, their services. I want to learn about their competition. You know, who do they see in, you know, locally and nationally and globally? Who is their competition? You know, so lots of things I want to learn about them. I want to learn about their story, how they got started, why now they want a logo, right? Why are they considering it right now? So I want to kind of know a lot about the company, its industry, and then it's, you know, 3 to 5 year goals. So I do the discovery process, and then I go and take a peek at their current situation, and I go pick a peek at, you know, the competition and maybe cherry pick ideas or just take note of their colors and styles and industry. And then from there, I'll go get some research and I'll go look at, I don't know, other logos in the industry or maybe related industries. And I'll go look at logos and concepts from there. And then I'll get inspiration from everything from icons to words to, you know, pictures of animals or pictures of spaces, pictures of, I don't know, everything from abstract, organic, building architecture to dogs, right? So the gamut is long, and of where I go get inspiration could be even art deco, could be art genres. So I take all this in and I'm just researching and exploring and looking at different things, and all that leads to, you know, my sketchbook, my handy dandy sketchbook. So my team and I, we do all this, and then we go straight pencil to paper first. We make a process book of kind of like showing our work to the client, come encapsulating everything, and then we go pencil to paper and we focus on the symbol mark first, because that's so important these days. We really want to focus on that and then share all that with the client. So that's kind of your round one, is like, this is how we got here, this is, you know, we took it all in, and this is what inspired us, this is what we think would be best for your business, what do you think? And so it's kind of like that, you know, penguin in the pebble sometimes is how I feel, like hope you like my pebble. of these pictures of, like, you know, of these sketchbooks of like my team, I'm like, this is what we think is best, I hope you think the same.
And for those of you that don't know that what Amber is saying, penguin in the pebble, because I didn't know this until recently, penguins, like male, right, it's male penguins, they'll go searching for like far and wide for the perfect little pebble to give to the female penguin that they want to mate with. So like Amber will literally, like, that's what she's doing when she is creating all of these sketches for her client and like narrowing it down. She's like, here is this pebble. Like, I did all of this work for you. I did all this research. I looked at so many pictures. Like, I've seen you with your sketchbook. You'll turn it upside down and then write, you know, draw new ones. Like, you'll go to a coffee. Yeah, there it is. So, like, you really do your work and your research before handing that pebble over. And yeah, I think that's a big part of why your clients are so, like, you know, love you so much, is because it's clear that you put in the work.
And like, I'll look at different things and do like different sketch sessions. Like, okay, this session I'm going to focus on maybe the letter, right, of the beginning letter of the business, whether it be a P or a T or whatever. And then this one I'm going to focus on this, and this one I'm going to focus on that. And I'll do several different sketch sessions to try to really run the gamut of ideas and concepts for them to focus on. So then I'll present that. So hopefully then the client's like, wow, this is so great. And they'll, you know, star, I hopefully think they're going to star like, you know, 2 to 4 sketch options, or provide, you know, feedback and direction. And then my team's like, sweet, I love those too. Or we'll strongly have a advice for this one or that one. And then we go, sweet, okay, that's good. We're into the digital world. So then we open up our Illustrator, Adobe Illustrator, and we start, you know, so we'll scan in our sketchbooks, and we will build, you know, trace out the symbol and do some riffs on it, whether it be stroked or solid or slanted or this or that. You know, we'll try to look at, you know, some riffs off of the sketch in digital format. And then kind of depending if it's, you know, if it's, you know, we're trying to go for a sophisticated look, we're trying to go for a vintage look, we'll try to go for a whatever the vibe of the company is.
That's where all that research comes in and your questionnaire, right?
Exactly. Is it friendly? Are we trying to be youthful? Are we trying to be luxury? Are we trying to be, you know, so whatever. So a font that we'll pair with it will hopefully be that pairing of like bringing that all together. So we'll look at all these different fonts and customize them so that way they match the pairing of the symbol. And we'll look at a bunch, and then we'll present our favorite. But we'll show you the work, you know. So we'll show you what we looked at, and then we'll make our selects for that, for each sketch direction, concept direction. And we'll present those to the client. So we only do it in black and white because us humans are so impacted by color that I, you know, I've had clients that'll pick a concept because they either loved or hated the color. And I'm like, but this one looks so good.
Yeah.
And they won't look at it because it's like, oh, I hate that color. I can't even handle it. I'm like, but the symbol is so good.
So that's why we do black and white first.
That's why we do black and white first. And I get them to fall in love with just, you know, looking at, you know, the layout, just the outline of the symbol and the word without any other distractions. So they're like, oh, I like this one, but maybe this one with some refinements and a twist. So then they'll give me that feedback and direction. Hopefully they've selected one by now. And we bring it into the color phase. And we might have some refinements on the logo still. You know, we might still want to massage it just a little bit more and refine it. But, you know, we are refining it and then coming up with various color palettes that might work as well. So color palettes. So again, we're thinking back to the client discovery and like what industry they're in and what, you know, the philosophy of color and what that means to a brand. And so we're looking at all of that kind of stuff and thinking about that. And we present, you know, probably about on average 5 different color palettes that would fit that bill. And then so we kind of like show them refinements in black and white, and then we show them the color palettes and we pair them off. And hopefully from there, the client's like, yep, I like that black and white, and I like that color palette, or maybe that with a twist, which is okay, a little bit more refinements on the color. And we start marrying those together, pairing them down for like this final like confirmation round of sorts. And they're like, approved. And we're like, and like, awesome, congratulations, you got a logo, and here's your logo pack. So I'll send
it. In a perfect world.
In a perfect world. That's awesome, slam dunk, you did it. Excited to share with the world. And I'm like, hell yeah. So it's like
I think this is your version of like telling future clients maybe listening to this episode of like how it should go, right?
Hell yeah, this is fucking awesome. Can't wait to share it with the world. So you know, and then it's like happy dance, and then I give you a nice delivery package of a 1-page style guide of the colors broken down and, you know, your responsive logo set of logos as vector files and transparent PNGs. Everything they would need to go, you know, use these in the world. And that is my logo process and delivery. And that's what to expect when working with me.
I love it. So Is it different at all for, let's say you get a client who they have a logo already, maybe they've been in business for years and they want not like a brand new logo that's totally different, but they want something that's like a maturation of their current logo or like a just a different riff on their current logo. Is the process any different?
No, it's kind of the same.
Pretty much the same.
But cool, cool. But like, for example, I have a client, I can't name their name because I haven't gone public yet with their logo, is that, you know, they've been in business since the 70s and this logo definitely looked dated, right? They were, you could tell maybe they'd probably used, you know, Times New Roman for the word and some like, you know, some kind of swishy thing or whatever, rounded.
It's the very 70s yeah. era logo. Totally,
you know, it suited the bill for a long time. They've been in business a long time, you know, they kind of known by it. And they did, they thought they wanted an overhaul. They came to me thinking they wanted an overhaul. And then through the process, the discovery process, could kind of analyze their current situation and analyze some of their competition. There was a couple of comments in there that I had made about the current logo. And they're like, that's it, Eureka. Maybe we just need a refresh, a modernization, you know, modern time of our current situation. And so, you know, I did the sketching phase and we ran the gamut of options that they could have done. And they were like, no, actually, I think after further review of the play, you know, we have decided that I think we just want an evolution of our brand, an evolution of our old logo. And so it wasn't until I brought them through the discovery phase and shared them with them all their options that they're like, I actually think what you said in there might be some clout there. And so that client, you know, decided just did an evolution on their logo, but then they said, you know, actually, I think we even like our colors, but I think we just want a modern, poppier version of our color palette. So we went through, just kind of did some more like update to their logo, made it responsive, you know, more modernized, gave them a really great mark, and then just kind of gave them some options for their color palettes. Like, these are your old ones, but these are maybe some more vibrant versions. Tone them up, tone them down, and we kind of went through that process. And so that's what's turned into it. It was an overhaul, kind of made refresh, but we went through all the same phases together.
Yeah. Well, that's a great example too of you, the graphic designer with like 12 plus years of experience as a working designer. Oftentimes you know better as far as like the logo direction that someone should go in. Even though like the industry that client is in, you're not in that industry. You've never been in that industry. And if they hadn't been open to your feedback on that logo and like on the refresh instead of overhaul, they might not have gotten the amazing responsive logo that they got. So that's the importance of, you know, whatever industry you're in, really listening to what your designer has to say, because like you are the expert in logos and like logo design and what a consumer is going to connect with versus what they're not going to care about, right?
I guess just being a good designer, being a chameleon, right? Yeah. Like, you take all the good, you know, design principles you learn in college and along the way in your life, and you just design for the industry. So you take the same principles, and that's why it's important to learn about the industry. That's why I probably like what I do, is I get to learn about so many stinking industries.
Yeah,
exactly. Like this interesting chronal knowledge of like all these different industries. It's just enough to be dangerous. You know, they're an expert in what they do, and I'm an expert in what I do, and we can have that sort of mutual respect for each other. You know, we can tend to make some beautiful things.
Yeah. Well, piggybacking off of that, what are some of the obstacles you run into with clients when it comes to building their logo?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, obstacles would be like, sometimes clients forget that this logo is not for them, right? So they forget that this logo is, yes, it represents them and their business, but it's more for the saying about their business to their target demographics and their people, who they're going after. I think sometimes people can take it too personally too. Maybe they started out as a small business, but now they're this big empire, and the person at the helm gets too connected, and they lose sight that it's not all about them. And so it's trying to, like, you know, based on data and research, that maybe perhaps this other direction is more successful, and it says this, this, and this, and this is where we think you should go. But sometimes it's hard to get a business owner or partners to get on board with that idea. So I think that's an obstacle that I have a lot, not a lot, but sometimes rather. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just think that they, I think people just forget that it's, this is not about them. It's about their clients, their prospects.
Yeah. And they hired you for a reason, you know?
Right. So a lot of times people, you know, people, reason why people refresh or redo their logos is because, you know, they've been in business for 50 years and they need a refresh. They need to look more modern and up with the times, right? Another one is that they want to re-enter a market, right? So it's time to, you know, they've got a new product or service, they need to re-enter a market and their current situation would not appeal to that industry or that market.
Or broaden into multiple markets too.
Precisely.
And companies build or grow into, like, take over other companies.
Yeah. Or like, yeah, for example, like I've had clients like, or investment firms that have taken over clients or companies. And it's like, this was, I see something in this, but it's not quite there. We need to overhaul it, refresh it, repackage it, make it look pretty and restart it. So
yeah.
Those are some reasons that people, you know, and then the third reason is that, yeah, they've been in business for 3 to 5 years and we're going to have a thing now. And, you know, now, now I want to invest and go big time with my logo and business. And I want to overhaul and re-enter the market that way with a new fresh set of skins, right? So those are some of the, you know, the main reasons why people are ready for a logo or a refresh.
Yeah. So with that in mind, describe, help the audience understand the difference between getting a custom design logo, responsive logo from a designer or a design firm like you versus something like a $10 logo mill, you know, because there's websites out there where you can literally just pay $5 to $10 for a super generic logo. So what's the difference?
Yeah. So, I mean, well, you're going to like the way you look when you come work with Amber J. That's your Men's Warehouse, you know, tagline. You're going to like
the way you look.
You know, so you're going to be a little bit more proud of what you're going to look like when you work with me, because, you know, you get to take an, you know, you're both experts and you get to collaborate together to make something really beautiful together. And so to be a part of the process, you know, at those various phases, that's why it's been, that's why it's fun to work with me, because like the solution is no surprise. You're a part of the process. And that's going to be something you're going to like a lot. What else is different? So that $10 logo is a commodity. Anybody else can go buy that logo. That's not a unique logo.
That's
so
a good
that
point.
Logo could be, yeah, it's the same symbol or whatever, and you just change the name and now it's yours, but like it's commodity. Like it's not trademark appropriate. Like it's, someone else could probably have that logo. It's not yours per se. You don't own it. And it's just logo mill. It's just that. Yeah. It's not overly.
It might not matter to you as much like starting out when you're a one person business or anything, but it's definitely going to matter the farther along you get.
Yeah. You go to trademark that, it's probably going to be taken. So that's just another thing to be wary for. And then I don't know, there's just my opinion. I think you can also send out, I forget what it's called now, but you can also send out sort of a brief to like a logo pond of people where they accept the brief and they submit to you like a bunch of different, like these pool of designers will just submit all these different logo ideas based on your brief that you give them. You can pay like, I don't know, $50 to $500 or something like that for a logo stuff. And then you can do pretty good with those, I guess. But again, I think it devalues my industry, and I don't particularly care for those types of folk that do that kind of work, because I kind of see them as like, I don't know, picket liners,
yeah,
workers.
We don't have a filter here.
I know, it's kind of like picket workers are, they demoralize my talent, our talent. They bring everybody down with them when they do that. And so I don't think very highly of that. I get that it can be a great way to maybe build a portfolio if they're, you know, just need to do logo work, but I think it brings the industry down when you got that kind of stuff out there, because you're worth more than that. And then people think that they can get a logo for $50 and then, I don't know, you get what you pay for. And
you do. And that means too, like whenever, if you, the business owner, have a logo like that, that you only paid $50 to $100 for, it's like, yeah, you saved that money, but how much more like return would you get on a logo that is going to actually represent everything you want it to represent and have all of the research and the artistry and the talent behind it? So much goes into the logos that you do, and that's why they cost what they do, is because like you're getting a graphic design expert working on it, and like you're not just an expert in like the design and art portion of it, you're an expert in like doing the research you need to do on the target demographic. And that's what that's a big portion of what you're missing from those easy, cheap logos.
Well, honestly, when I hear people doing it that route, I get that maybe they're just, you know, starting out and they can't afford it, but that means to me that they don't value what I do for a living. So once as I hear that, then I'm like, it might not be a good fit, because ultimately that means you don't value what I do. You don't value that I went to a four-year university to learn what I do. And you think of me as art rather than like this conceptual graphic design, you know, professional senior rate graphic designer. And you think of me in an art service. And that's just, and once as I hear that little buzz, I'm like, we're probably not going to be a good fit, because you don't value what I do for a living.
Well, and I'll take it a step further. I don't think that person values their own business, honestly. Like not enough, not like
their business, but this will value this part of their business. I would say that.
Correct. But I think one thing that you say to a lot of people, kind of like a tagline of Amber Design is like, how, you know what I'm like drawing a blank, but like,
I make your shit look beautiful.
Huh?
I make your shit look beautiful.
I mean, you do that, but no, I'm talking about like, is your logo as good as your business? Like, is your logo really representing the great shit that you do with your business? If it's just like one of those cheap logos, then it probably doesn't. But like Amber Design can create you a logo that is like, you know, up to par with the amazing product or the amazing service that you put out there as a business owner.
That's just level up.
Yeah.
Next level. Today has to go along with functionality. You know, you can't have a good app design without functionality and good design.
Yeah.
So exactly. You can't have one without the other these days.
Yeah. So to close things off, do you have a favorite logo project from this year that you can share with us and talk about a little bit?
I think one of my fun ones this year was Woo Date, just because I think I like Woo Date so much. So throughout the whole, it was like the theme of the, you know, the entire time, you know, me wooing the client with my pebble and my penguin logos. And like, it was like this whole funny thing. And the owners were really fun the founders were really fun to work with.
Yeah.
And so I just think that process, working with my team, even we were like, you know, internal meetings of like wooing each other with our logo designs. And I think it just turned out really, it was just really fun to work on with this client, and like the end result was just turned out, I think, really beautiful.
Yeah.
Really whimsical, but modern and professional.
Romantic, but
yeah, it kind of hit all of the things that we were looking for with that logo. So that turned out as a fun project. I like that one.
That's and they went public with their new logo like almost right away too. Yeah. Like they were like, I'm ready to use this.
Oh yeah, they were nuts. Well, we actually had a deadline. They were in the middle of actually overhauling their website too. And so they gave us like this 1 month completion date timeline. So that way they could use the logo and the colors on the new website refresh that they were working on. Yeah. And I was like, okay, sure. I can do that in a month, I guess. All hands on deck. So I got all my contractors in to like make that one happen. But yeah, as soon as they had that thing in their hot little hands, it was up and running, because they had a new launch and he was going in for some VC monies and needed to get some things going.
Yeah. Well, and that's a cool logo too. And we'll put the link to this portfolio piece in the show notes for this podcast. But it's also one of my favorite logos of yours, because it has so many different elements to it. You know, it's like part bird, part heart, part like map pen, but like all in one logo. And that's what's so cool.
Yeah, it was like everything all in one, right?
Yeah.
Because Woo Date is as a date. Kind of plotting service.
Date planner. Yeah, like if you're not creative with planning your dates, but you want to woo your partner or woo a first date, go on Woo Date and have them help you create a date.
I want to do drinks, I want to do a meal, and I want to do an activity, and like plot those things, and then it'll give you all these like kind of like date options, and even like show you the plot of the course of like where you're going to go here this time, and then you can do the next level of service called Goose that you could, you know, they'll even go into that. They'll go, it's like a service, additional service you can pay for, and you can go in and like, okay, if you go to this place, but then you go to this flower shop over here and grab this, and then you go over here and do this. So they'll add in like these like little extra sprinkles to the date.
Oh, okay, cool.
Which is kind of cool. So it's like a next level service, which is neat. So like this logo mark kind of has all of that sort of encompassed into it of like, you can be the superhero of your love date. It's kind of got a lot of fun things in the logo that I think were turned out really successful.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, and you learned about the business in the way that you needed to create that logo for them. And that's what makes it a great logo and makes you a great person to to make those logos happen. So
it's a team effort. It was a lot of fun.
Yes, exactly. So, well, thank you for talking to me today about the perfect logo, part of our Building Your Business series. We're now at the end of the episode. So everyone listening, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. And we even more so appreciate if you would subscribe to the Amber Energy podcast. If you're listening on a platform that offers reviews or star ratings, please give us some reviews and ratings. Share it with your friends.
Five stars only.
And then if you want to reach Amber, how do they reach you?
You can go to my website, awesomeamber.com, or easy. You can email me at amber@awesomeamber.com.
Perfect. Easy to remember. I love it. So go to that website. Again, the website will be in the show notes as well. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for the next one.